And so we're constantly trying to make sure that all of the pieces that we're building are creating that spark that allows for the relationship to go beyond our program.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to today's episode of Learning Unboxed. As always, I am excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, which is mentorship as a positive disruptor in how we think about education, what is school, why does it all matter, and how can we make a difference for kids? And so joining us today for this conversation is Michael Coughlin, who is the Chief Program and Innovation Officer at Big Brothers Big Sisters of New York City. So Michael, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm very excited to be able to have this conversation. As our listeners know, we talk about mentorship all the time. It's really a critically important element that we believe in the transformative education space. But let's set a little bit of context for our listeners, if we could. Big Brothers Big Sisters of New York City is the nation's first and the city's largest youth mentoring organization. Their vision is that all youth achieve their full potential, and their mission is to build and support mentoring relationships to ignite the biggest possible futures for youth. The other thing that I want to just share right out of the gate is that their work is guided by their values: put youth first, advance diversity, equity, and inclusion, operate with integrity, engage with empathy, and invest in learning and in innovation. And I just don't think that we could get a set of primary objectives that are any more meaningful than those. So Michael, let's start with a really sort of high level, because Boys and Big Brothers Big Sisters of New York City serves over 2,500 youth annually, and that's a lot of kids. So when you think about mentoring and the work that you do, where do you see the most impactful intersections in terms of the work that you and your staff are doing, but also in terms of the work that schools, families, students are doing?
Sure. Yeah, I think where we see the biggest impact is we are well positioned to be able to create almost relationships and resources for the young people that come into our program. So oftentimes when young people are coming in, what families and parents are asking for is, can you help them build a network of people who will, in essence, invest in them long term, help show them things that they might not know are possible, help them explore the world and their interests and get a good sense of what they might want to do long term. And actually, our mentors are pretty pivotal in making sure that young people are not only identifying things that they could potentially do in their future, but actually providing the stepping stones to make that a reality. So they work a lot together in understanding post-high school, what should I be doing? What are my next steps? How do I help build my resume as I'm going through school? How do I get involved with clubs at school or different activities to help me set myself up for success in the way that I want to see success? And so that is actually what we do with our mentors. There's a lot of training, and we have program managers that actually work very closely with both the mentor and the mentee to help develop meaningful outings and meaningful conversations to ensure that relationship is developing in a way that is very helpful to the young person, but also is aligned with the goals that they've set for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we all know, I mean, anybody who's eyeballs deep, if you will, in this work, we know that those are really critical components and elements, and they do in fact matter long term to kids. And one of the things I think is really interesting about the way you've structured your work in New York City has really been based on this idea of recognizing that workplace based mentorship, right, is really all is critically important as well. And yet we know that in the traditional educational system, K-12, that piece, that workplace based anything, much less mentorship, right, is really difficult to accomplish. So let's dig into that a little bit and talk about your workplace mentoring program. So give us some of the architecture first, and then I have no doubt we're going to have some follow-up queries that are tied to that.
Sure. So we actually launched our workplace program, I would say about 30 years ago. So there's a lot there, a lot of history there. And the way that we initially structure the program or launch the program is really making sure that young people in high school, the program actually starts sophomore year in for high school students, have access to a corporate office. They get a chance to interact with mentors that have several different career trajectories, several different jobs. And the program actually takes place at the corporate office. So students get to have that experience of traveling to the workplace location, going in the front door, checking in at the beginning, going up and meeting their mentor. They're oftentimes in a conference room or a boardroom, and they get a chance to have that one-on-one interaction with their mentors who are talking to them about their day-to-day work, talking to them about like the different careers that exist within the company and how they might see themselves in those careers. The program is also structured so we have a staff member that is working closely with each of the mentors and the mentees. There's a curriculum that they're helping teach and facilitate during those structured sessions. They meet every other week, and each session is really set up to have a main goal or a main purpose or focus. There's oftentimes group discussions, and there's one-on-one discussions between the mentor and the mentee, and oftentimes comes back with a larger share out. So everyone is getting a chance to interact with all of the mentors in the room. They get a chance to learn about each one of the mentors, but they still have that individual person that's invested in them, engaged with them. This program starts at sophomore year, like I mentioned, but it actually goes through graduation, through high school graduation. So when we're working with a corporate partner and bringing them into this conversation, what we're oftentimes doing is saying, we want to make sure that you have at least a 3-year investment in this program, because you're going to be working with young people starting in sophomore year, but we really want to make sure that's a 3-year commitment, and mentors are signing on for 3 years. So they're helping the young people graduate from high school, but also helping set the path for post-high school work. So they do get a chance to figure out like what it is they want to do post-high school. They're working with their mentor in terms of making that a reality and setting themselves up. So when they graduate from high school and graduate from our program at that stage, they're already taking actionable steps to their future.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely fabulous. So we'll start with that. But I also think that oftentimes I wonder if people who haven't participated, I'm talking about the adults, the mentors, right, who haven't participated in Big Brothers Big Sisters programs, regardless of where they happen to be, have a bit of a misunderstanding of what Big Brothers Big Sisters today looks like, right? Because it's often depicted in media, right, as one thing, but it truly, I mean, in my own work, we bump up against it repeatedly in a variety of different settings, because there's often, not always, but often there's such a meaningful alignment between the Big Brothers Big Sisters organization, the local school districts where the youth are being recruited from, and these business and industry partners. And yet I think sometimes people think it's a way to keep a kid out of trouble, right? Or it's about a kid who needs other adult something. And yes, it is those things, but it has a more tangible purpose for that student participant, right? You have some outcomes you're really truly looking for. Can we dig into that just a little bit? Because I want to make sure that people have the correct understanding of what this organization is today, as opposed to what they thought it was, where they might have encountered it in their own youth. Because it has evolved a lot.
It has evolved a lot. And it's interesting that you talk about that, because we've actually done work on our end to understand what are the mindsets when young people come into our program, what do they think about when they first come into our program, and like how are they connecting. And from where I stand, I think most people would say that this is probably true, that everyone has benefited from mentoring in some capacity. Everyone is successful today because a mentor has like provided them an opportunity, given them some guidance, whatever that happens to be. And oftentimes when young people are entering into our program, they actually see it as a negative. They see it like, I am getting in trouble. There's something that is wrong with me that is like bringing me to this program. And that is the last thing we want on their minds. If that's a deterrent, then we have a big problem. So the way that we have focused our program initiative, specifically the workplace, we're going to take that all the way through because we've added some new programming elements to it over the last couple of years, is when a young person walks in the door at sophomore year, really what we're doing is we're saying we're going to make a long-term investment in you. What this program is going to look like is you're going to be paired with a mentor who is going to help provide guidance and support as you go through the high school process. So you start to think about your future. You get a chance to start to build on your skill set so you understand what a corporate office is. You get a chance to see the interactions that exist there and how people show up in that space. You'll also have access to a mentor that potentially looks like you that can provide guidance in terms of how they navigate the space and how they've been successful in their world. And you're learning from that as you go. As you progress through the workplace program, you're also potentially in a workplace that you could work at later on. So they're getting a chance to know you. They're getting a chance to see you grow in this program element and are invested in you as you go off to the next step. What we've added to the program, this is just in the last 5 years, is an extension of that program into college. So now those same corporate partners that are in our workplace program working with high school students from sophomore to senior year actually also get a chance to work with college students, those same exact college students, as they're looking at their career growth post. So we actually call that program Career Pathways. And so students are paired with a peer, I'll call it a career mentor, when they get into their junior year in college. And what they're doing with that mentor is they're now digging into the specific industry that they would like to get into, the jobs that exist within that industry. They're learning about the actions they can take while they're at college. Maybe it's joining a particular club, maybe starting a club that will help them build a resume that will give them access. We also ask all of those same mentors to set up informational interviews for their mentee, making sure that they are building up a social network or a professional network that's going to help them get that first opportunity. And currently, the last graduating class that we had, 80% of the students that graduated with an internship or a job in the career that they would like to get into. So we've really looked at our program from a completely different lens and said, this is what we're doing. When somebody walks in the front door their sophomore year, we're making probably a 7 or 8 year investment in that young person to make sure that they have the relationships and the network around them to make sure that they can gain access to whatever they want and be able to create the success that they want to see in their own lives.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I'm so glad to hear that you're doing a collegiate component of it, right? Because it's awesome. We get these kids to graduate from high school and then we toss them into post-secondary, the ones that are going. And oftentimes we know that kids can struggle in that environment for a whole host of reasons, right? And so I'm just thrilled to hear that there's some continuation for the participants. For folks that don't have a Big Brothers Big Sisters program in their community that is doing some of these similar things, my hope, though, is that through this conversation, they hear you talking about the value of investing time, energy, effort, and honestly staff and time to design, develop, and run with fidelity a mentorship program, whatever that might happen to be, because I can tell from your passion that you believe in mentorship very deeply. And so I'm really curious if you were to talk to one of these folks and they really want to know not just the great things that you're doing, but also where are the pain points? I mean, you've been, as an organization, at this long enough, there are real pain points. It's not fiction. And so I'm really curious, how do you think about those things? And then how do you navigate redesigning or designing with those constraints in mind to make sure that your program is doing all the incredible things that it is all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so that's a really good question. I think some of the most common things we are trying to solve for when we're developing a new program, or even if you were starting from scratch, is there's oftentimes a misconception that mentoring happens just between a mentor and a mentee. So two individuals can just go off, do their own thing. All's going to be right with the world, and that's going to be perfect. And oftentimes we know that is not true. So we are making sure that when we're designing a program from the very beginning, there is a set of training standards, coaching components that are built in for the mentor so that they are set up for success. What we're also doing is making sure that mentors know that those resources exist from the very beginning, because the biggest challenge we will run into is just making sure that people are stepping forward as mentors into our program. It can be a very intimidating ask. And I think it's something that a lot of mentors, it's almost like they think it's a good thing, but they don't know if they're worthy or that they're, if they have the right resources or whatever happens to be successful in it. And so we're constantly making sure that they know that there's a coach that's going to be there alongside them. There's a curriculum that they're going to be able to follow. We're going to make this as easy as possible for them, and that they, whatever tools or resources they need, we are going to be able to provide. What we're also constantly thinking through is how to make sure that relationship has sticking power. So we know that the longer a mentor-mentee relationship stays connected and together, the more the student is going to get from that program. And that relationship like fades out of like what we need in terms of like direct support. And it becomes this lifelong relationship or somebody that is just part of their family, their network, their connection. And so we're constantly trying to make sure that all of the pieces that we're building are creating that spark that allows for the relationship to go beyond our program. And so those are really the things that we focus on most when we're building a new program, is how do we get the mentors in? How do we make sure that they're set up for success? And how are we building that sort of like initial spark and ongoing spark to make sure that it does have lasting power and can have a bigger impact as they become friends throughout life.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know well that relationships matter so much. And at the end of the day, that's really what you're talking about. Mentorship that turns into meaningful, lifelong relationships that really nurture both directions, right? In powerful ways, right? That's the huge win. But oftentimes, I don't know about you, but my experience in having conversations with companies around whether it be mentoring or internships or apprenticeships, it's oftentimes you're met with, oh yeah, this is a really great idea. But as soon as these companies think about it, even for 5 seconds, much less 5 minutes or 5 days, there's all these reasons why we can't or we shouldn't, or it might be too complicated. So I assume you spend a fair amount of time actually, as you said, recruiting mentors in these workplaces. It's complicated. So how do you help these locations, these companies, even these individuals within these companies to say yes to making the commitment, to going through the training, to being willing? Because one of the other things that I hear a lot is, oh, no, not kids. Or we can have young people in our space. Or there's a whole host of, the conversations are fascinating. They're all different and yet they're similar. So how do you work through that?
Sure. It is also complicated.
Very complicated. I realize that.
one piece that is very helpful for us, something that we found to be successful, is you really have to find what's in it for the company so that they can get beyond all of those like logistical challenges, components of it. And so this is something that we did with our Career Pathways program. So that's like the newest version of this program that we've launched, is we were able to talk with the companies so that they got a chance to see like what is in it for them and how they're going to grow from this particular experience. And so a lot of our companies are looking to diversify the talent that they're bringing into their organization. They are looking to be able to find new talent pipelines that they haven't necessarily accessed before. And that is exactly what our program does. You are, in essence, having your employees mentor young professionals before they're entering the job market. They learn about your company. They learn the different job opportunities. They're almost starting to like train before they ever get in. And they're learning about the different opportunities that you're offering for new professionals. And so they're walking in hungry, ready to go, and excited about the opportunity that they've had for you. And now you're creating a new talent pipeline that you never had before. So it's, you're almost helping companies understand what's in it for them. Like, why should they be doing this? Because there is a lot of value, and it's easy to get distracted by some of those like smaller logistical things, and they end up losing out on something that's pretty impactful and powerful for them as well.
Yeah, it really is. But like I said, I've engaged in that conversation often enough within my own organization as well. It is in fact complicated. And I think that the other thing that everybody worries about, and we'll move on, but I just want to throw this out there because it wasn't an element that you mentioned, but I'm sure that it comes up. I know it comes up for us. And that is the notion of time, right? From an industry standpoint, we're in the business of business. And so part of it is allocating the time to recognize that at the end of the day, you are absolutely right. This is your own workforce, professional workforce development, right? This is your pipeline. It has tremendous potential for you, but it is an investment of time and energy and resources. And so just allocating that as a specific line item, even in the world, your work, right, is a meaningful way for you to be able to attribute and account for it. So because that is a thing. I'm also super curious, the participants in Big Brothers, Big Sisters programs traditionally come from a pretty wide array of backgrounds and circumstances. And so are there a set of like cohesive or universal challenges that you see coming in that you are then specifically trying to address through your mentorship work?
Yeah, really good question. I mean, the most common thing that we will run into is I think that young people just tend to lack confidence in their abilities and like what they think is possible in their lives. And it seems as though like any sort of roadblock that might pop up, it becomes like, oh, maybe just I wasn't cut out for this, or maybe I'm just not ready for this. And so they give up. And that is probably the thing that we're trying to navigate most, and or make sure that we are building programming / like support for the mentors to step in front of. A lot of the young people that are coming through their program are the first in their families to go to college. We actually do work with a lot of immigrant youth in New York City. And so making sure that mentors are prepared to help young people navigate that insecurity or that feeling that they don't belong, having the mentors normalize that experience, having them share about like what it was like when they were going through high school and going through college and some of the self-doubt that they had and how they overcame it, and making sure that they're always like that phone call. So if the student is feeling that self-doubt, the person that they're picking up the phone and calling is their mentor to just be able to say like, this is normal. Everyone goes through this. Like, you are worthy. You got this. That is really the driver, the focal point for our program and a lot of the program support that we're offering mentors and the coaching that we're offering mentors at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the way you work with your school district partners, because Big Brothers, Big Sisters is not necessarily a formal part. I mean, every once in a while I bumped up to it where it has been a formal part of the district itself, but typically it is not. It's a partner organization that works. So help folks understand how the relationship that you have specifically there with your organization within the New York and the structure with the different boroughs and schools that you work with. And then how does that then translate into helping with student academic success?
Sure. Yeah. So the New York has an interesting high school system in that their high schools are specialized towards usually specific industries. And so students are really not definitely, but almost choosing their career path like at eighth grade. And they're applying to go to high schools that they feel fit their interests and get into those high schools. There's a whole application process. And so oftentimes when we're working with the high schools directly, what we're trying to do is make sure that we're adding value for them. And so we actually spend quite a bit of time talking through the potential corporate partners that we could bring into their school and provide access to their students, oftentimes trying to make sure that the industry is aligned with like where their school focus is, making sure that there are mentors coming in to help provide guidance to students in that in that specific industry. So there is an added value in a conversation that we're consistently having with the school systems. What we also do is have a school staff member as our coordinator at the school. So that also is a paid role for that individual person. And so what they help make sure happens is that students understand what the program is. So they're helping with the recruitment and making sure that students are aligning or understanding how the program supports their academic learning or what they are looking to do long term. They're also helping coordinate on the back end to make sure that the students are there. It's an after school program. So they're like at the end of the school day and coming over together and connecting some of that learning. And so ultimately, the way that the program gets presented to the students in support of their academic support, academic achievement, but as well as like their long-term goals and success, is this is almost an internship opportunity at a major corporation in New York City, where you're gaining access to experience, but mentors and individuals that are going to invest in your long-term career. And so parents who are having their children part of the program oftentimes are like, oh, my son or daughter has this amazing internship at this company and they're like learning from this. And so it really does push the students forward to start thinking about their career and how they can, or their life post high school, and how they are making decisions while they're in high school to help set themselves up for that long-term career, which does tend to drive towards academic success. Currently, 100% of the students that participate in that workplace program graduate from high school. 94%, 95% currently are going on to college. So those are really impressive drivers that are built in for them to take that next step and really see success.
Yeah. Do you see it as being embraced broadly from a community standpoint? The reason I'm asking that question is sometimes there's hesitance around these programs because it's seen as not the word punitive. It's not like summer school. Summer school is punitive. But is it perceived largely by the community as a positive endeavor that it's not? I guess what I'm trying to get at is sometimes there's public perceptions that programs like this are really all about kids that are struggling or kids that are causing trouble. And we all know that all of those things happen for a variety of reasons. And largely it's because kids are not being properly engaged, right? There are no such thing as bad kids. There are bad circumstances, right? And so I'm really curious about, because I really want to close the conversation by coming full circle and recognizing that the work that you're doing is a community endeavor, right? So how does your work outside of the school and outside of the company, the particular industry partners that are serving as the mentors, how does the community support and wrap itself around this endeavor, this work?
Yeah, it is all in partnership, to be honest with you. And because you were talking early on in that question around how the community perceives the program, how the students perceive the programs like specifically. And at this stage, I think because of the success that the program has had, and it's seen as a path to success, honestly. It is like, I go to this school, which allows me access to this program where I'm going to go and show up at this corporate office, and I'll have a mentor who's going to invest in me and show me the ropes in terms of like how to be successful long-term. And they're going to work with me on like creating those action steps. And I'm then going to graduate from high school. And I'm going to have this plan and I'm going to start to execute on it. The community has really embraced that concept and that idea. So when students are walking in, it feels like a privilege to be part of this program. It's
exactly.
Not because something's wrong with me. It's because like, oh, I've been tapped for this. Like I have this great opportunity. And so I'm gonna take advantage of that, right? Like I'm gonna be able to step in, have a mentor by my side throughout this process, and I'm gonna be successful. I'm gonna have opportunities that I wouldn't have otherwise. So that really is like how the school is now approaching it. It's really how our companies are starting to approach it as well. And then the students that participate, that is how they see it. And what we'll see at our corporate partners oftentimes, because we have been running this program for so long, is a lot of our corporate partners have mentors that have been with 3 or 4 or 5 students at this stage. So they will see a student graduate and then they'll circle back and start with a sophomore again. So they had this long-term investment in our program and they continue to have that relationship with those students into college, into early adulthood. And so they have this cohort of students they met through our program that are they now consider like family and friends that are off doing successful things.
Yeah. And that is just so incredibly wonderful to hear. I mean, that's where I was hoping that you were going with that, because it is this amazing thing, right? These kids got tapped for this. And I've had the privilege of talking with so many kids who've participated in Big Brother, Big Sister programs over the years in a variety of different capacities, right? And there's almost a universal appreciation for, I got so much out of that, right? I don't know if the kids always understand that they, for the most part, give back as much, if not more, right, to the mentors who are participating. And so I love seeing the way that you've really articulated this workplace opportunity as a piece of this element of the student growth and trajectory. That's just absolutely awesome. I always like to close the program, Michael, recognizing that folks come to this program from around the world with different types of organizations and scenarios that are happening. And yet I'm always hopeful that there are nuggets of our conversation that really resonate. And so for somebody who doesn't have a workplace mentoring program in their community or that's available to them at the ready, but wants to roll up their sleeves and get started, what would you recommend or what advice would you have for that individual just to get started with the community conversation about why this would be a great thing?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of resources out there around helping to develop the structure of a mentoring program. We work closely with them. There's an organization called Mentor that actually provides training and resources for organizations that are looking to get started and just gives you like the nuts and bolts of how to run a program like this. And I think you said this earlier, which is everyone believes that mentoring is impactful. And I think everyone can connect with that process. And so you're not really going to get a lot of resistance in terms of like wanting to do this. It's just making sure that you're starting from where you have like relationships, or you're starting from like whoever is willing to buy in on the ground floor and start a pilot with you, or just start to bring things together. And that's as good a place as anything. Just make sure you have a start in something that people can see and people can like buy into and start to replicate, and it will begin to grow, definitely.
Michael, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us and talk to us about the program and all the amazing things that are happening with Big Brothers, Big Sisters in New York City. We thank you for the work that you're doing and the organization is so incredibly impactful. So thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin, and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.